Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It's good to be back after my family was out last week. I think some folks were afraid the preacher wasn't going to show, so they had to ring the bell this morning to make sure I knew it was time. So apologies on the delay. I needed a book across the street, so I went and got it. Several things to let you know about this morning. Next week, the 3rd of February, is going to be our annual audit for all of our congregational funds for the year of 2018. If you are involved with one of those funds as a treasurer, first, thank you for doing that. And if you don't know your time, I believe there's a schedule out here in the hallway, is that right, on the bulletin board? Or you could speak with Libby, is helping coordinate that as well. But please make sure that's on your radar, and thank you for that service. Also want folks to know that coming up next Saturday, Saturday 2 weeks from now, on the 9th of February, we're going to have a training out at the cemetery. We've got some transition happening for our cemetery leadership, and as one of the things that we're looking at is, we just want more people to know how to do the things that happen out at the cemetery. When we need to do things like mark a grave and those sorts of things. And so you're invited if you're interested. We know we've got some folks we've asked to be there. But if you know anybody else who's interested in learning how to do that, we think the more people that know the system, the better. That training is going to happen at 12:15 on the 9th of February, and that's what's going on. We do have our congregational meeting scheduled for the end of February to approve those audit reports once they're out. You should get a mailing about that as well, but just keep that on your radar. Carolina Conrad shared with me this morning that Grace Bowers Spain Hour passed away on Friday, and that a memorial service for her will be Thursday, the 31st of January, at King of Glory Lutheran Church at Myrtle Beach. So we'll certainly keep her family in our prayers, especially her daughter, Donna. I know she's been connected to this congregation for some time. From what I understand about the condition she has been in the last several weeks, it was time for her to go. So we'll rejoice that that Jesus holds her and there is no more pain for her now. Are there other announcements we should be aware of today? We will install our council members for 2019. That's all folks involved in the council. We'll install them as part of the service today. And while we're installing them, Chip, we have not done any official installation of you yet. Is that right, as treasurer? If you will join us, Chip, for that, we'll install you as our treasurer as well. Only about 5 months late. We just wanted to make sure he made the cut before we made it official. Yeah. Other announcements we should be aware of? I think there was a prayer shawl this morning.
As for, I think his name is pronounced Tasm Liam Cohen. He is the grandson of Dirk and Wanda Swing. So he's 3 weeks old, but he's still in the hospital. So he needs our prayers. And then this one is for baby Cecil that is coming, but Lori, it's not finished, so you can't take it with you, but I wanted to get it blessed, so this is for baby Cecil.
We wish happy birthday this week to Stephen, Mary Ellen, Leanne, James, Joanne, and Megan, and happy anniversary to Anthony and Susan. Anybody we ought to add to that? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless us as we stand. Guide us, Lord. Bring us all healing and blessing in this new year that comes. May your peace, which surpasses all understanding, comfort our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Rosala reminded me that we should be talking about a silly event coming up. The mother, son, father, daughter, grandparent, grandchild. I think anything you would like to, any combination of that you'd like to make, we'll have a dance sometime in February.
It's the Saturday after Valentine's.
The Saturday after Valentine's Day, we're going to be having a dance. So put that on your radar as well. The other thing Rosalie reminded me of is we're coming up on the season where it's time parents and grandparents to start looking at plans for camp. I've said repeatedly, I feel like a broken record, I think a week at Luther Ridge, Luther Rock, Camp Agape is one of the best things you can do for the faith formation of your young people. Usually that's starting around the age of 6 or 7. There is some money available from the church to help you with that, and if there are financial needs, talk to me and we can look for other things even to help. But start thinking about that. It's not too early to start making plans for the summer. We stand as we begin our worship on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated if the children will join me up here for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Okay, so we're going to hear a story today where Jesus tells everybody what his mission in life is and what he's going to do with his life, okay? And Jesus says what he's going to do with his life is proclaim liberty to the captives and good news to the poor, and release to those who are in prison. That's what Jesus says he comes to do, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's Jubilee. So that's what Jesus is going to do with his life. Have you guys ever thought about what you're going to do with your lives? Sometimes people might ask that question like this. Has anybody ever asked you what you want to be when you grow up? Yeah? They have? Yeah, I think that's an okay thing to ask. But the way that I really like to ask it, the way that I think is really important to ask, is not what do you want to be when you grow up, but what do you think God is calling you to be when you grow up, which is, hey, you guys are good at some things, right? How does God want to use the things that you're good at to help the world? I think that's a good way to think about it. So I think we're going to practice that a little bit, because I know it's a new question to think about who does God want us to be when we think about what we might be when we grow up. So we're going to practice. And it's a good thing I brought props, because I'm losing you guys already, I can tell. Okay, so I need a couple of volunteers here. All right, Gavin and let's take Brody maybe. Did you raise your hand, Brody? Would you like to do that? Come on, Brody. No, not yet? Yeah, come on, Brody. Okay, so would you hold that? Give it a little shake. Okay, and Gavin, I'm going to, you don't know anything about drumming, do you, Gavin? Oh, you do? Wait, you have some drums, don't you? All right, put that on and hold this. Give it like three, give me like three taps on that. Okay, so we got a drum and a shaker over here. Can you jingle those bells for us? Okay, perfect. Now, you guys, I want you to maybe stand right here. Now, you guys look a lot like musicians right now. You know that? Can you guys think how a musician might use their life and their gifts and their skills to point people to God? How could you do that? Yeah, what do you think, Rosalie? Sing songs and praise to God. Yeah, oh, look, there's some people up there who are doing that right now. Yeah, you're right. How else could a musician? What about if a musician like made beautiful music that inspired people and made people think about God? Would that be a good thing? Or what if a musician just made beautiful music that helped people process their life and experience emotion? That would be a beautiful thing, and I think that could be a calling, right? Some musicians teach, some musicians, I don't know, play the organ, right? Yeah, right behind you guys, there's a musician doing that for us every week. Judy helps us lead worship. So I think if you're a musician, you can serve God faithfully by being a musician. I need some more help over here. Okay, let me have Rosalie and Conrad here. I didn't bring Carrie's tools, I brought Marcus's tools. So do you know what this is? This is a stethoscope. Sometimes people who work in healthcare, like a doctor or a nurse or an EMT, that's to help you look in people's ears, and that's a little injection, and here's a Band-Aid. Okay, so can you guys go stand up on the top of the stairs? Okay, how could somebody who works in healthcare, how could they fulfill their calling and do what God calls them to do? What do you think? What do you think, Gracie? Help other people to feel better, right? One of the things that Jesus says Jesus comes to do is to bring sight to the blind, and I think he means that literally, like help blind people to see, but I also think he means to bring healing to all people who are in need of healing. That's what Jesus wants, and Jesus calls us to help do that, right? So if you were somebody who worked in the healthcare field, you could be a part of that. Gracie, would you do this one for me? What do we got here? Sort of an imaginary toy camera, right? If you were taking pictures for a living, what would we call you? Do you know? Photographer. Yeah. Do you think a photographer could use their life's work to praise and glorify God? Yeah, I think they certainly could. They could take beautiful images that would inspire people, or they could do important work like journalism that helps people know where there are people suffering in the world, and calls attention to issues like suffering that people that we need to help people with. So I think a photographer could absolutely do that. I got one more. Isabel, this is you. You know what this is? It's a tape measure. Yeah. So you're going to be our builder. Do you guys think a builder could maybe use their work to praise and glorify God? How would that happen, do you think? How? To build houses for other people, because we need places to live, right? So a builder who does good work and builds sturdy and safe places for us to live is a way that that a builder could serve other people. What I want you guys to know is that anything, any job that we do, there are ways that we can do that in praise and service of God, okay? And it's about how we find ways in our jobs to care for other people and to point other people to Jesus. That's what we're called to do with our lives, is to be loving and to help show people Jesus's love for them. And you could do it if you're a musician or a builder or a healthcare professional or a photographer. In all of those things, you can serve God and point people to Jesus, which is an amazing thing. What I want you guys to think about as you get a little older, and you're probably a little young now, is this question, not just what do I want to be when I grow up, but what might God need me and call me to be for the sake of the world when I grow up? And maybe your parents can help you by asking that question too, right? That would be really cool. Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you, okay? You can just listen. Gracious God, you give us so many different gifts. Some of us, Lord, are great at building things. Some of us are wonderful at making music or helping people feel better or capturing the beauty of your creation. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to use the gifts you give us. Help us use the things that we're good at to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wonderful. If you guys would put those things back in here, because if I don't take Marcus's toys back, I will be in trouble. Yes, well, you can put them right back in there. That's great. And you guys, who, if anyone's going to children's church, you can line up at that door. Can I get that one too, Conrad? Thank you. And as we transition to our readings, just a note for you all following along in your bulletin. The readings we're doing today are not what's printed in your bulletin, because what we got printed in your bulletin were last week's readings. So these are the correct ones that we'll be reading from.
The first reading is a reading from Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them for those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 19. And will be read responsively. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words, their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which
comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
Its rising
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired than they can hold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant, warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can detect their errors clearly from hidden thoughts?
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The second reading for today comes from 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, through many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members into the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I missed my golden opportunity in my children's sermon to suggest to the children that one of the things that they could be called to do to serve God, right, might be to serve as a pastor. So if anybody needs a photo op later with their child in a clerical collar that I forgot under here, you just let me know after the worship service is over. One of the expressions that we're using a lot these days in my house is, "Well, he's not wrong." And it comes from our two-year-old, right, who sometimes makes random announcements. We'll be driving somewhere, and from his car seat we'll hear, "Daddy, some cows do not have horns." Right? "Yeah, that's true, okay." Or, "It's not nice to push unless we're on the swings." We're thinking, "Yeah, okay, that's true." Recently from the bathroom when he proclaimed, "I've never pooped at a birthday party before." True, he's not wrong. And usually all we can do is laugh and nod our heads and admit that for all the unexpectedness of the announcement, there is truth to what he says. He's not wrong. In the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus makes his own unexpected statement of truth. He's in his hometown of Nazareth after having been baptized and then tested by Satan in the wilderness. And by this time, word has already gotten to Nazareth, to the folks at home, that there's something special about him because he's been traveling around the region, around Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and it says that everybody who heard him was praising him. So when he's back in his hometown of Nazareth on the Sabbath, being the good Jewish boy that he was, he headed for the synagogue like was his custom. And the folks there have been hearing about him from the people in neighboring towns, I assume. So when it's time for them to read from the scriptures, they hand him the scroll, I imagine anxious to hear what he has to say. And what he reads from Isaiah would have been familiar words, right? They're about God's promises to the people. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." All that's fairly expected. They would have known those scriptures. But what's unexpected is what Jesus does next. He rolls up the scroll, hands it to the attendant, sits down, and says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Which is to say, all of those promises you just heard, yeah, I'm the one to make that happen. Which is a pretty self-assured thing to say, right? It would have been an unexpected thing to say, shocking even for those who had seen Jesus grow up. But we, who know the rest of the story about Jesus, can say, "Well, yeah, he's not wrong here, is he? Jesus will bring sight to the blind. He will bring good news to the poor, freedom to the oppressed." And what's monumental for us about what Jesus has said is not just that he is the fulfillment of the scripture, But it's also Jesus making very clear what he is about, what his mission is, what he came to do and to bring about. Jesus lays out his agenda here. And Jesus' agenda looks like proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, which is a reference to something called the year of Jubilee from Leviticus. I know we all just go home and read Leviticus every night, so you know this so well. No, maybe not, right? But there's this idea in Leviticus about this once in a generation year of Jubilee, that every 50 years, debts would be forgiven, property that had been sold would be returned to the original owner. Like many of the things Jesus had to say, he's not so concerned with being fair or equal here. He's concerned about a higher standard, and that is being loving and just. In an agricultural society, think about the Great Depression in our country. In an agricultural society, if you're forced to sell off your family land, and the only way you have to provide for yourself and your family is to farm, what are you going to do? What is your family going to do? For generations now, they don't have any access to what they need to live. So this year of Jubilee in Leviticus is about freeing people who have been enslaved in this endless generational cycle of debt and poverty by every 50 years saying it all goes back. Debts are canceled, land goes back to who it belonged to. Jesus' agenda looks like that somehow, we hear. Jesus' agenda looks like healing for the physically impaired. It looks like release to the captives, freedom for the oppressed. This is Jesus' mission statement, and it is good news. Like most of what Jesus has to say in the Gospel of Luke especially, this good news shows a preference for the poor, the outcast, and the lowly. And that might take some work for us to get our heads around, especially if we don't count ourselves among the poor and lowly by our own reckoning. I mean, there's not many metrics by which I can be considered an outcast from anything. But that doesn't mean that Jesus' mission is something other than good news for me. Doesn't mean that Jesus' mission is something other than good news for you. Because as much as Jesus comes to free the poor from their want, he also comes to free those with resources from their greed. As much as Jesus comes to free the outcast by welcoming them into the fullness of the community, he comes to free the ones who drove the outcast away by their insensitivity and cruelty. Release to the captives is about more than physical bondage. I think it certainly includes that. But Jesus also comes to free us from our captivity to sin, to free us from greed, jealousy, pettiness. Jesus comes to free us from white supremacy and any other form of evil that devalues any person made in the image of God. Jesus comes to free us from fear and from hatred. Jesus comes to free us from our own vanity and pride. And this is a release from captivity, and we desperately need it, because sin is bad for us. It warps us. It makes us less than who we were created to be. But using the words of Isaiah, Jesus' proclamation is that this is what he's here to deal with. And actually, more than that, Jesus proclaims that he has dealt with it. That's how Jesus says it. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Not will be fulfilled, has been fulfilled today in your hearing. Which again, I know is sometimes tough for us. We look around and go, doesn't look like everything has been made right yet to me. And this is the tension of the kingdom of God. In Jesus, things have changed. We trust and believe. Death has been overpowered. God's love for us takes on flesh and comes among us, so things can't ever be the same as they were. But at the same time, we do still live with the lingering effects of sin and death in the world, which is why, having claimed us and freed us from captivity to our sin, Jesus also calls us to be a part of his mission in the world. Claimed by God, we become part of the church, which is the body of Christ on earth. And as the body of Christ, our call is to be about the mission of Christ, to do the work that Jesus does. And this is why we work for justice for all people. This is why we care for the poor. This is why we love our neighbors, because the mission of Jesus is the mission of the church. To bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Not tomorrow, not when we feel more comfortable or have more time, not when we're in better shape ourselves, today. This is the mission of Jesus and the mission of the church today. Because Jesus judges this world and us in need of saving. He sees brokenness and pain. And well, he's not wrong, is he? But neither is he okay with the status quo. Neither is he okay with leaving this brokenness and pain as they are. So take comfort. Jesus is at work, freeing you from your captivity now, today. Jesus is working to make all things new. Where we're left, the question that we have to ask then is, what are we going to do with our God-given healing, freedom, and release? Do we pile it up for ourselves, or do we use it to join in the work of God's kingdom? And if we choose kingdom work, this is what it looks like: bringing good news to the poor. And we might have to work to create some of that good news. Proclaiming release to the unjustly imprisoned. And we have to work to make that release happen. Making sure that the physically impaired have access to healing. Working to end justice and oppression. Exploring creative options to end cycles of poverty. This is what Jesus says he's about. And unexpected or not, he's not wrong. Will we work with him?
Thank you.
but we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The congregation to be seated, and if our council members will come forward so we can install you. These people have been elected to serve as your congregational council, with the exception of Chip, who has been appointed as church treasurer. All positions of leadership, we give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are all welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these sisters and brothers will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You all have been elected and appointed to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected and appointed? If so, you can answer together, I will, and I ask God to help me. People of God, I ask you, will you support these your elected and appointed leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, we will, and we ask God to help us. We will, and we ask God to help us. I now declare you installed as members of the church council and as treasurer of this congregation. Almighty God, bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. Can we give these folks a round of applause as gratitude? We appreciate your service and want to mention we're grateful for the folks who have just rotated off the council after their three-year terms. That was Kara, Conrad, Feeney. I don't know which last name we're using. Kim Troutman and Neil Clark, and I'm missing one. Who am I forgetting? Wendy Lohr. Yeah, so we thank those folks too for their service over these last years. And as you are grateful for these folks and their service, you might just consider whether you might be called to serve in these roles sometimes. And if you have questions about that, ask these folks or ask me. We're not asking today, but prayerfully consider where God is calling you to be involved in the life of this congregation in the future. Thank you all. You all can return to your seats. And as a congregation now, we stand united as one body in Christ. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray, Lord God, for your church. Empower bishops, pastors, deacons, teachers, and all members of Christ's body with your Spirit. We pray especially, Lord, for all those who are targets of violence because of their faith. Open our hearts, Lord, to hear your word of life and respond in lives of service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the good earth that you made, for all creatures of the land, air, and water. Heal environments damaged by disaster or pollution. Make us wise stewards of all you have entrusted into our care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord God, for the nations, particularly, Lord, for all nations experiencing upheaval, Venezuela, particularly, Lord, for our nation, which has struggled with government of late. We ask, God, that you would liberate us from our captivity to fear and ways of violence. Free those who are unjustly imprisoned and those who are imprisoned for working for freedom. Give us vision to seek the pathways of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for all those in need. Rescue those who suffer abuse or neglect. Bring an end to hunger and greed. Accompany those who are alone or vulnerable. Comfort those who grieve and all who are ill. Especially we pray for Burnett, the family of Jane, Bobby, Harold, Lydia, John, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Bill, Betty, the family of Barbara, Joanne, Debbie, Barbara, the family of Grace, and all we name now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, God, we remember those who have gone before us in the life of faith. Wipe away all tears and bring us with them into the joy of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers, Lord God, and fill us with your radiance. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Sorry, we are not having communion today. We did not, you're right. We will have communion next week. There is not, just one offering today. And would you grab those and put them on the altar for me, Nathan? I think I know where it is. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought light into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts: freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever.
We pray as Jesus taught: Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say our mission statement together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
We are dancing in the light of God.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.